Welcome to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. I'm Denise Fleck, and I am the Pet Safety Crusader, delighted to be back with you for my second week of Pet Safety Crusader Radio. What a difference a week can make! After only show number one, I am now part of the WPET Talk Radio family, broadcasting out to 65,000 plus listeners. Isn't that bow wow wonderful? As you're getting to know me, you'll learn that having taught more than 10,000 pet lovers animal life-saving skills in person, and millions more on national TV segments, it is my mission to be the one who makes a difference in the lives of animals and the people who love them. So, I slip into a mask and cape and travel far and wide, teaching humans how they can help their pets live longer, happier, and healthier lives. I'll share with you at the end of today's show just how far and where I'll be traveling, so please stay tuned. Now, no matter how much you rock at taking care of your furry family members, there is always so much more to learn. So please sit, stay, or just keep on driving, working, or doing what you're doing, but join me for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to listen, learn, share, and become the person your dog or cat knows you can be. I am just wagging my tail over the fact that you've tuned in. Today, we're going to be treated to two, not one, but two guests. Becky Starr, who many of you have come to know on All Paws Talk Radio, she'll be here discussing ways to keep our pets calm. While later in the show, we'll hear from Deborah Jo Chiapuzio, the founder and president of the Emma Zen Foundation, who supplies pet oxygen masks to first responders all around the country, even across the globe. Good and important stuff for all of us pet lovers to know. For starters today, though, as we discussed last week, May is National Pet Disaster Preparedness Month. So it is a possum time to dust off your pet's emergency preparedness kit and make sure everything is in order so that should disaster strike, you can become a superhero to your animal family members. Now, you do have a pet disaster preparedness kit, right? I hope I'm seeing a lot of hands and paws going up there out there. Well, if not, even if you do, here's what the Pet Safety Crusader recommends you start pulling together at the very least. Obviously, depending on which kind of furry, thin, scaled, or any other type of animals you may have in your home, you're going to have specific needs, but you want a properly fitting collar, harness, leash, and muzzle. Make sure they are not old ones that have been actually partially chewed through, but that they fit correctly. A lot of people will put on a collar or a harness, but they don't fit it properly to the pet, and the animal can very easily slip out of it. Now, I think you heard me say the word muzzle, too, and a lot of you are probably cringing over that one, thinking, I would never muzzle my dog or cat. Well, you know, sometimes you need to, and when we're in stressful situations, animals will sometimes bite. They're not biting their best friend, but they're biting this kind of disembodied hand that's coming at them that might be causing them more pain or distress. So it's so important, just like your dog knows how to wear a collar and a leash, and hopefully your cat knows how to at least put on a collar even if you don't keep it on all the time, that you do try a muzzle on all of your pets. Put it on, take it off, treat them, let it know it was a good thing. Never ever leave a pet unattended in a muzzle. And never use it as a punishment, but there are times muzzles are needed. And a muzzle that is properly placed on will not impinge on the animal's breathing. But it's just so important because if we're bitten, it then becomes a human first aid incident and we can't help our pet. So make sure you know how to muzzle, and we'll certainly be talking about that in more pet first aid tips to come. You also need a crate or a carrier for each of your animals. And this brings us to one of those things that I know a lot of people that like to rescue animals and have them in their lives sometimes have more than they can actually safely get out during an evacuation in one or two trips. If you have more animals than you have crates and carriers, and if you have more pets than you can actually evacuate quickly, you may need to rethink that so that if something should happen, they can all go with you very safely. You should also have some stakes and tie outs, and that's not something I would normally ever recommend, having your pet, you know, tied out anywhere. But if you have to evacuate and you're, you know, temporarily in a park or somewhere else, you can't be holding on to the other end of the leash the whole time. So you're going to want one of those stakes that screws into the ground, and you'll never leave your pet unattended or make sure he can't get any farther, that he's in harm's way. But that might be something you need to have. Extra ID tags are an excellent addition to your pet disaster preparedness kit, because if you have to evacuate or you're staying with somebody else, you want that local phone number or address added to your dog or cat's tag. And of course, we need food, water, medication, supplements, anything your pets are used to eating or consuming. Always have, and the basic rule is 3 days to 2 weeks ahead. I know that's kind of a wacky, crazy window, but you need to make that decision. But most people think within 3 days they will have some help coming. But if you're a paranoid dog mom like me, you probably have at least 2 weeks ahead of all of these items. And as far as the food goes, it absolutely, positively, in my opinion, must be the food that your dog or cat is used to eating. I know oftentimes during the summer, which is coming up, people will go to adoption fairs and different animal events and get all kinds of samples from dog food companies. And some people think, well, those are nicely packaged in a little container. Let me throw those into my emergency kit. Well, that can be great if that is the food brand your pet normally eats. But if it's another one, just give it to them as treats now and then, and, you know, use it up then. Don't save that food, because it would be like us putting in our emergency kit foods that we don't normally eat. And when we're already in a stressful situation, changing the diet can just really add problems to the whole equation here. So stick with the food. Make sure you have bottled water for your pets. You know, maybe you'll have a 5 or a 10 gallon jug. Maybe you have a 55 gallon drum in your yard for that emergency. But they can't drink water out of the lakes and streams and off the street any more than we can. They need good, fresh, clean water. And dogs and cats' bodies, just like the planet Earth and us ourselves, are about 3/4 water. So they need that good supply all the time. For cats and small dogs, plan on 1/2 gallon a day. For our larger pets, 1 gallon. And then, of course, don't forget us humans when we're talking about all of these things. Like I mentioned last week, it's just like when we fly on a plane and they tell you if there's an emergency and the oxygen masks come down, put one on yourself first before you help a child or anyone else. Well, the same thing with our pets. We need to make sure we have all the emergency supplies for us too, or we're not going to be able to help them to our best of ability. Now that we've talked about getting the food and the medication and all of that type of stuff into our emergency kit, we need to have something to give it to our pets in. Bowls, whether they're collapsible or stainless steel, spoons, can openers if it's not a pop top of the can. So just make sure you have all of the tools you'll need to serve the food as well. Personally, I do feed my dogs a raw food diet for dinner, but every morning they get kibble, because with all of my pet disaster preparedness, I want to make sure their bodies are used to a kibble food that doesn't need refrigeration should we ever be without electricity. So they get their kibble, a spoonful of non-fat yogurt, and some fresh blueberries to get them going in the morning, kind of like me and my cereal. Other things you're going to want to have in your disaster kit are grooming supplies, because your dogs and cats may get muddy and dirty and wet, and you don't want them getting matted. You want to make sure they don't get parasites or any kind of burrs or foxtails in their coat. So you're going to need to clean them. And that also includes having cleanup bags, disposable litter pans, litter and scoop, and any other species-specific needs if you happen to have, you know, geckos or birds or fish in your life. Blankets, bedding, and toys are so important, because we want to alleviate stress, and we're going to get into that shortly more with Becky Starr. But, you know, it's going to be a stressful situation whether we're hunkering down in our home or whether we're actually having to evacuate during an emergency. So make sure your pets have things that they're used to. And it's awesome to put in a toy they've already played with that smells a little bit like them, And especially if you have to board them somewhere else or evacuate them to a shelter where you're not with them by their side, to put in a shirt you've recently worn that smells like you so that they have the comfort of their favorite person. Now, I did bring up an interesting point when I said when you might have to evacuate your pet to a shelter where you can't be by their side. Red Cross shelters, for the most part, will not allow pets unless they're a service animal because, you know, there are other people that are housed there could have allergies or could be nervous around pets or for other health and safety reasons. But more and more, since the Pets Act went into effect after Katrina and cities around the country started developing disaster plans, more and more cities will be setting up pet shelters near the human shelters. A couple more things I want to list off before we go to our guest, and that would be to have all of your pets' medical records, the proofs of their vaccination, in a Ziploc bag or other waterproof container. If your pet is evacuated to a shelter and you have no proof of the vaccination, they're going to have to revaccinate your pets. And if they just got their shots, you know, a few months ago or so, that's not the best thing for them. We don't want to over-vaccinate. So always have that proof that they, you know, are up to date on vaccinations. It's also a fabulous idea to have pictures of your pets and pictures of your pets with you. A picture is worth a thousand words, and it shows that your pet and you belong together. Also, if you have pets with specific markings or stripes or swirls or spots, photograph them from different sides because that's like a fingerprint proving that that pet is your family member. My white Akita Bonsai has a black kidney bean on one side and an upside down heart on the other. So pictures of those patterns prove that she is my girl and that we belong together. The only thing I want to remind you about pictures, however, is that if you have a black lab puppy right now, and as he starts to get older and his face gets a little frosted with the gray brows and whiskers, make sure you update the picture in your emergency kit so that he really looks like himself. That way, should he go missing or you need to have any kind of proof that you belong together, you will have an accurate picture of your pet. And then, of course, there's all the cleanup supplies. We can never have enough paper towels and disinfectant, plastic bags, zip ties and duct tape always come in handy, and a pet first aid kit, which me being the pet safety crusader, I know I'll be talking to you about in future episodes. Flashlight, transistor radio, and once again, all of your human supplies and first aid kit with all of your emergency numbers. It's actually even a good idea to have directions written down because sometimes cell phones don't work, and even write down directions to your house because if you're telling an emergency crew to get to you, sometimes when we're in a fluster, our brain cells fly out our ears and we can't even, you know, think up the simplest tasks. But along with all that, those supplies, you're going to need to brush up and stay current on your skills by taking a pet first aid and CPCR course. We'll talk about that more at the end of today's show. But now I think it's time to take a quick break. And when we return, my awesome possum longtime animal friend Becky Starr will be joining us. So sit, stay, and get ready to learn.
Finest Fetch Dog Treats. It's more than a treat. Go to finestfetch.com. Made with the best quality human grade ingredients and made in the USA. There is nothing like it. Your best friend will just gobble them up. And it's like eating a home cooked meal. The treats have an unbelievable recipe. Chicken biscuit with blue cheese, rosemary and thyme, tacos, peanut butter and jelly, bagel and lox, wow, plus more. My producer eats them, and his dog eats them too, and he said they are healthy and delicious. I'm not kidding. So you must go to finestfetch.com. I'll spell it for you, finestfetch.com. Your best friend will love you for it. Mozzie Pants, adorable and functional dog clothing, offering pants and tops made from cotton or fleece. walking pants and tops keep the outdoor grime outdoors, offering full coverage of legs and tummy. No more toweling off at the door or snow mats. Ditch the cone covers wounds and hot spots. The original pants give support for incontinence, marking, submissive peeing, and females in heat. Made in the USA by women. Order today at mozziepants.com. M-O-Z-Z-I-E pants.com. Or call 206-283-6570. Mozzie Pants.
Now that we're back, I'm pleased to bark out loud and introduce to you a lady whose path I've crossed 100 times in different aspects of the animal world, Becky Starr. Becky is the Western U.S. manager of Redstone Media Group, publishers of Animal, Feline, Equine Wellness Magazine, and also Integrated Veterinary Care Journal, and the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Journal and Canadian Dogs Annual. Whew, she writes a lot, and also for LA Pet Care Examiner. Becky is a gifted educator and a true advocate of integrative health care for both animals and us humans. She understands the needs and challenges us pet guardians experience with our beloved pets, and she works to find solutions through her vast network of professional friends and colleagues. Becky is joining us right now on Pet Safety Crusader Radio to share her wealth of information about how we can keep our pets calm in less than calm situations. Hello, Becky.
Hello, Denise. That was a whole lot to say.
I'm worn out already. Well, I know people are used to you on other shows, but I wanted to give you a good introduction on your first time here on Pet Safety Crusader Radio. And, you know, as most of us pet parents know, when we get stressed out, our dogs and cats' stress level, you know, can escalate as well. So what can we do to help? How can we keep them calm?
Okay.
It sounds like you need the doggy Heimlich.
Well, I'm laughing because you said the perfect combination, right? When I was thinking about us talking about how to keep our pets calm today, it's a huge topic, right? We can't cover that in minutes, but because what kind of emergency is it, right? Is it a Mother Nature emergency, or is it an injury or something of that nature, you know, a certain health issue that hits us in that moment? When I was reading about statistics, it says 92% of pets will experience an emergency situation at some point in their life, which means pretty much all of us pet guardians are going to get to have our moment, you know, with this experience.
Absolutely.
How do we handle things? First, I'm going to tell you the logic that I use, and then I'm going to tell you my own challenges and hope that you have the answer. The first thing I think is, obviously, we need to be educated and prepared as best as possible. And by taking classes, having emergency kits in our homes and cars, absolutely the big one is to know where the closest vet clinics are and their hours and locations. But not only that, already have those directions written out. So, because in that moment, you don't have time to start looking on the internet or through a phone book if they still exist. You don't have any time. So one of the things I got used to doing is I create, whenever I move or relocate or you're traveling, I have a list of all the vets, their locations, their hours, and how to get there. I have it in my car glove compartment, in my phone, and in the house in case someone's watching my animals when I'm not here. So to me, that's been a huge, huge factor of knowing where to go in a moment's time.
That truly makes you an awesome pet parent, Becky. It really does. And what I actually tell some of my students to do is to drive there. You know, sometime in the next week, give yourself an assignment to drive there because, you know, again, when an emergency happens, brain cells can fly out our ears. And if we at least know if it's a right turn or a left turn and which side of the street it's on, we kind of can go on autopilot and get there and, you know, just be more concerned about getting there safely with our pet.
That's right. So that's my biggest thing. I didn't learn young enough, but I've certainly learned over time when I started moving and relocating or traveling. And so I think that's one of the most important things you can have with you. I also like to carry with me there are a lot of natural calming remedies out in the world today. Of course, you know, there's doggy downers from your pharmaceutical, and there are also, you know, doggy downers in the natural alternative health world. You just have to get on the internet, do a search for, you know, natural calming, relaxing options for animals to choose, you know, your method of madness. My particular one that I use and carry in my car, my purse, by my bed is called Rescue Remedy. I think a lot of people are accustomed to that name. It's been around forever. It's a spray. It's a drop. And I keep it everywhere, purse, car, home. You never know, even if it's not your own pet that you're driving down the street and, you know, you find a dog or cat in need and it, you know, you can just spray it above their head. You can get it, if you can get it in their mouth. So I also have that on hand all the time. So I recommend that you find something that, you know, helps calm you and the pet at the same time. Now, here's the thing, Denise, and I'm going to be honest with you. Personally, when I have faced an emergency with my animals, all the education, the logic, the knowledge, the remaining calm goes out the window, at least for the initial response, okay? And I've learned that when something you said a few minutes ago, what I'm feeling goes straight into my animal. So it's really important for us to learn how to remain calm more than how to calm our pets in the initial response, right? We sort of have
to say more. Yes, absolutely. Take a deep breath, hug a tree or whatever it is, you know, and collect your wits about you, because we actually get, I believe it's called an acute adrenaline dump or something, and our brain and our motor skills don't work right.
No, they go out the window, and all that, you know, while you're waiting to get that pet motherly instinct to kick back in or your logic. And forgive me for saying this. I'm telling you, when my heart begins to race when that happens, the anxiety and panic is setting in. I'm literally grabbing the Rescue Remedy. I am grabbing Xanax, and I'm spraying it all over myself in that moment. And maybe it's not natural, but I have to get a grip to be able to get my pet to get a grip. And so I think no matter how prepared we are, you know, and we need to be prepared, because in that moment we lose it. But then as we begin to realize, you know, we're responsible and we have to take action and we have to be the adult, we do come back to, you know, our some logic and knowledge, and then it all kind of kicks back in. And you know, somehow we take care of the action and we get it done, and we're prepared to move ahead. Do you have any great recommendations of how we get that grip to be able to handle that situation, other than Xanax, wine, your choice of non-natural effects, or bend over and hope for the best?
Well, you've kind of hit the nail on the head, and, you know, it's what I'm all about. It's that preparedness. You know, I don't teach yoga or meditation. I don't get people in a Zen zone. But I do teach pet first aid and pet disaster preparedness. And I try to not only teach the skills, but let people know what equipment or supplies they need ahead of time and run their head through some scenarios so that they always have that plan B in place. Because I think that's how we stay calm. If we have a plan, we focus in on it and we take care of the situation. After we've delivered the pet to the veterinarian or the situation has played itself out and all is well, we may go in the corner and have a meltdown because, you know, we have that pent up energy. But if we're able to, you know, take that deep breath, collect ourselves, and then focus on the task at hand, knowing that we already have those skills, we then do have that confidence to react.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, what do you prepare for, right? They educate us on, okay, have your earthquake kits prepared. But, you know, in that moment when the house starts shaking or everything starts moving for people who live in earthquake zones, you know, or we don't really get notice, right, compared to a hurricane or a tsunami or a tornado, we don't get any notice out here in California. And so that's the moment for me that you go, you know, the dogs start running. The cats start running and they run away from you. You know, their fear gets so big, you know, that how do you manage when everything's moving and shaking to go grab them? That's always in my head. Like, how am I going to get a hold of them when my whole, you know, being is shaking around? What do you do? How do you get control of them? And I don't have that solution in my head yet for those kind of disasters, right? You can think of, oh, my dog cut his foot, or, oh, wow, he's having a seizure, or, oh, we've got an anal gland, you know, jumping out, you know, the size of a golf ball. There are certain things you kind of have time to know, and then there's certain things you don't have time. And that's, how do we prepare for those kind of moments?
Well, I discussed a little bit of this last week in regards to disaster preparedness, and that one of the most important readiness tools, besides having the training and supplies and a positive mental attitude, is to stay curious. And what I mean by that is just constantly, when something comes across your brain or a page, to look it up or at least put it on a list to discover it later. Because the more we add to our knowledge and skill set, the more files we have to access from, you know, when something does happen. And you're right, with us in earthquake country, we don't get advance notice. But in other parts of the country, when, you know, there's the first sign of something going on, you have to get those cats in their carriers before, you know, things get chaotic, and round up the dogs and, you know, get them on leash or at least in the house or in a smaller room to get ready to go. But there are times we just are going to have to go with the flow. So the more that we're prepared, the better equipped we are to handle the situation. But there's no one, you know, foolproof solution.
No, there's not. And so that's why I was going, well, let's see, how can I help people today with hot tips of keeping calm and keeping your animals calm? And so that's why I was laughing earlier. It's, you know, we got to keep me calm first.
Well, and you know, some of the things we do to keep calm is we have favorite or comfortable things around. Maybe we listen to music. There's special music that they tell us keep pets calm. But even if there isn't special music, sometimes like playing the TV or the stereo, if it's, say, thunderstorms or fireworks, it might drown out some of that noise, and it can help in a different sort of way.
Yes. And then, like we were just talking to, we do somehow come to our senses at some point, I hope. Most of us do. After the initial shock. And then we go, okay, we're ready for battle. I know what I'm doing. You know, get a blanket, get a towel, you know, wrap your pet in, you know, around it so that you can have control of them in case it is a seizure or in case they're panicking and trying to jump out of your arms or scratching you to death or trying to bite you. You never know what's their reaction is going to be. So my next thing is, you know, once I'm calm, you know, get them wrapped up, secure, get them in my arms, you know, get in the car, get an Uber, get yourself where you need to go quickly. And like you said, once they're, you know, they get you through the paperwork and, oh, give us all this money for us to even look at them. And you're standing there going, would you just help my pet? You know, just, you know, get them, help them right now. Right. You and I can do our paperwork later. You're in not a calm state to deal with these people at the front end where you arrive. And then it's the pacing, right? Then, like you said, you sort of start to deflate and calm down, but then the anxiety works itself up again, waiting to hear, waiting to see your baby again. You know, it's a very challenging situation in emergency situations, no matter how logical you are or how calm you are or all the yoga in the world and the Zen. You know, it's getting a grip, like you said, of ourselves. But if we have that file, if we have education, we've taken classes, we feel confident about CPR or a cut or a wound or a bee sting. Another great thing to learn on another note with this is homeopathy. I have a little kit here, an emergency homeopathic kit. And it can cover everything, you know, from a snake bite to a bee sting to an allergy to a seizure to anxiety, you know, and they have little pet homeopathic kits out there that you can just keep in your house. And it comes with a little booklet that tells you when to use it and how to use it. And I use that thing so many times over the years, I can't tell you. So even if it's something small, you know, like a cut or a piece of glass, if we have education and the tools, then when we, like I said, come back to our senses, we do have the tools and education in it. I think it does kick back in. And that's why what you do is so important out in the world of educating us on doing these and handling these situations, because we don't really get taught these things in school, right?
No, there's not really any pet parenting 101. So it's up for us to learn. And, you know, the more confident we get, the calmer we can stay. But you just, you know, kind of hit the nail on the head there in conclusion with your homeopathic kit, in that there are always other things out there. So if we can just keep on learning, we can become better and better pet parents. Becky, thank you so much for tuning in with us today.
Thank you, Denise, and congratulations on the show, and love to hear what you're going to be teaching all of us to come.
Awesome. Thanks a heap, and we'll be back after this quick message.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hey, pet lovers. This is a must for you. Only one-of-a-kind dog food. There is nothing like this dog food blend anywhere else. Also, the best in the industry, joint support supplement. And you have to try this for your dog. Introducing the dental spray called Spray Me. Effectively breaks down tartar and leaves your dog's breath smelling great. You have to check out all their products. So go now to www.truedog.com. I'll spell it out for you. That is TRUDOG.com. Visit True Dog and use the promo code PAUSE15 for 15% off. Listen up, pet lovers. The best way to keep your pets safe and your car seats clean is by purchasing StageAx. Now you can take your pets with you and keep your car seats clean with a highly durable mat and never worry. Keep your car clean, keep your pets safe, and keep yourself happy with StageAx. This is what I want you to do. Go to StageAx.com. I'll spell it for you. StayJax.com. StayJax.com. Now you can enjoy traveling with your pets and keep them safe and keep your car seats clean.
It was awesome, Possum, hearing what Becky had to share. Please continue to watch for her on All Paws Pet Talk Radio and through the various publications she writes for. And do heed her advice. You know, maybe check into some aromatherapies or flower essences that might help your pet. Some dogs, even wearing a t-shirt, makes them feel a little bit more comforted. Gentle stroking can help, but not coddling your pet. And maybe even try the music thing. But you know what I'm going to emphasize is getting the skills and having the supplies on hand and practicing, knowing where your emergency center is. All of those things will help you help your pet more quickly when the need arises. You know, pets lower our stress and blood pressure, so we need to do all we can to keep them their calmest best. Now I'm delighted to introduce to you another longtime animal pal of mine and a true heartmate of a friend, Deborah Jo Chiapuzio, the founder and president of the Emma Zen Foundation. But first, I must tell you who Emma Zen is. Emma Zen is a 108-pound Black Lab Great Dane mix who is a shelter survivor and rides in a Harley sidecar, creating awareness for pet safety in general and pet oxygen masks in particular. Did you even know that pet oxygen masks exist? I did, but no one knows more about them than Deborah Jo. Welcome, my friend. Glad to have you here.
Welcome. It's good to see you and hear from you again.
You know, we've seen heartwarming photos of firemen's placing like a human oxygen mask on a pet, but you know, you take care of supplying them with the pet specific ones. What inspired you to start this particular nonprofit, and how does it all work?
Well, really, I just loved my dog that much. You know, once I saw the pet oxygen masks, you and I were together, and I thought, you know, I didn't realize that the oxygen mask that a fire truck might carry wouldn't fit my animal. And so my whole intent was just to have my dog be that safe. And what I didn't realize was the amount of public awareness a biker dog has on social media. And we had a lot of other people saying, you know, I want my animal to be that safe. You know, we have an outcry of people who loved their pet as much as I loved Emma Zen. And it made me sit there one day and say, you know, this call, this kind of calling, this is why people open up nonprofits. And believe it or not, it all started from that one thought.
Well, that's the way, you know, life often happens. We get an idea and it takes on a life of its own.
Exactly.
Well, since you've been doing this, do you have any success stories, or what are you most proud of that's, you know, happened with the Emma Zen Foundation?
You know, the success stories took a while to come along. Once we established equipment more and more out in our area, it took a few months before we actually started seeing them. And really, the emotional rewards of your pet being saved when you may have lost other life and may have lost property in fire is kind of an untold story here at the foundation. You know, we don't do a lot of that, but that's the end result. You see these, you and I both see them along just the same with all other general public, you know, people running out screaming that their animal is in there. I think the one story that has stuck with me over the years the most was a woman who came up to me from San Diego, and she said her dog, they had an old stove, and their dog jumped up on the stove and actually knocked something over and hit the little turn knob and turned it on fire and caught their house on fire, and they lost their dog in the fire. They also lost their house. But the firefighters were actually able to save their cat. So she said, she told me her story and she walked away. You know, so that's an interesting part of emergency preparedness is, you know, just even your home safety that could have started that kind of fire. And her daughter came up afterwards and said, I wished I would have had a camera to see my mother holding that cat with all her might as if it was every ounce of everything she had inside that home.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's her furry family member. And, you know, you and I were talking about this not too long ago, that we sometimes really just need get back to basics. You mm-hmm. know, you said the dog jumped up on the stove and turned on the knob. Even when we're cooking, we need to turn those pan handles inwards so we can't knock things over. We get complacent when things
you know,
don't happen. And we need to remember the smallest things.
Yeah, not to leave that kitchen. What's it called? Stand by your pan.
Oh, I love that one. I have to get a little Tammy Wynette going here.
Exactly.
Well, it's not just so easy as calling you up and, you know, having oxygen masks sent to a local community. People have to do some work, right? Can you talk a little bit to that?
Well, we have a lot of team programs, and I hope we get to tell some of your listeners about them since we are directly involved with you a couple of ways. But our number one team program is Team O2, where we actually tell you what to do in your area. We tell you when you call your fire department who to ask for, what to ask for, what to say if they answer a question one way or another, and all of that is available for you online under In My Home Pet Oxygen Masks in my hometown. Once we figure out the number of kits you need, we help you create a fundraiser. Sometimes it's something you're doing personally in your own area, and we're more than helpful to, you know, help you do that any way we can. And sometimes we do those online fundraisers and help you raise the funds for your area so that you can get some input and some of the excitement that comes from being part of that, you know.
Awesome, possum. But you, Deborah Jo, are truly the expert on this. You've done the research, because I know people can get oxygen masks other places, but they've come to find out that if they just get one, it hangs in the fire station.
I think if I could do something on a national level right now, I would clap my hands and say, I am so glad that we have been a nonprofit over 5 years, long enough to see so many other people do this. Both for-profit businesses and nonprofit organizations. But I wish I could talk to those individuals alone and say, you know, don't just go buy a kit and send it off to your fire department and, you know, say, yay, me, and feel good, because I know they do not get used. There's, you know, there's something called standardization that says if we don't have one kit of the same thing on every like vehicle, we can't use it. The men and women that are trained to save our lives are also trained to go to the same place on the same vehicle to get the same piece of life-saving equipment. And the fire department is accepting of any donations, but that doesn't mean that they have the training and enough of everything to go around. So that's something that we're really passionate about. It's something that sets us apart. We call every single fire department, all 3,000 kits we've ever sent out. We have talked to every single fire department and asked, do you need one or do you need 101?
Awesome, and that's what will get the job done. Correct. So you've got Team O2. What other teams do you have at the MSN Foundation?
Well, have you been, okay, listeners, she's not even singing her own praises. She's so humble over there, because we have Team Aid and Team Teach, which, Denise, you are both involved with. We have been looking for single donors for enough pet oxygen masks to help dogs that help other animals, like the dogs that get sent out to 911, the dogs that got sent out to all our other natural disasters. We are in love with your book and would love to supply more schools with them. I think it's a great educational tool. We also have Team Bark, and we've done a little bit with that recently, where you can donate a certain amount of money and we get ID tags from Barkcode and give them out to shelters. There's statistics of the number of animals that return really quickly just because they leave the shelters with no ID. Mm. And to tell you the truth, you don't know much about this one, but we are introducing Team Pig. It's the food train.
I wonder if Baby Banks herself has something to do with this.
Baby Banks would be Emma Zen's pet mini pig. Not so many. She's outweighing the Great Dane Labrador, but she is a mini pig. And yes, we are now raising funds to help pigs that have been saved from laboratory testing and the overcrowdedness of the shelters, because everybody's getting the cute little piglet and letting it grow up and taking it to a shelter, because boy, are they a handful times five.
Well, that's just it. No matter what animal, but differing species too, we see those adorable, cute little puppy or piglet or kitten faces, mm-hmm. but they grow up, and we need to know what, you know, what they're all about. They're not humans. They're canines or felines or equines or lagomorphs or whatever they happen to be, and we need to learn their language.
Yes, exactly. We do.
Well, you may have touched on this, but any other greatest goals, or where do you see the foundation going in the next several years?
Believe it or not, I do have some goals, even though I thought pet oxygen masks was going to be it, and there is no stopping. We have so many fire departments and sheriff's departments and ambulance services. I don't ever see that program going away. But I would like to tackle three major goals. That would be a lawful acknowledgement. It's a bill like the SB 139 that was signed in Colorado, giving mm-hmm. pets legal right to emergency aid. And that's something that could probably be done here in a very short period of time. You know, I think most big goals, you look at them in a five-year pattern, and I think that we could accomplish that one in this time. It would give the firefighters the right to check a box on their application saying, yes, I am committed and, you know, legally bound to saving your animal. So
wouldn't
it would give each of them.
Wonderful, yeah.
Pardon?
I said, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't it? And Colorado was the first to pass this bill. So we do have one state that has already passed it. They passed it the year after we were able to raise over 450 PET oxygen mask kits and pretty much established the state of Colorado with enough kits for all of their apparatus. So that is one of our second goals, is that PET oxygen masks would be on every truck. So the legislation for them to be mandatory would be one of our goals. And then one day somewhere down the road, I would like to tackle the regulations for the national standards. The national standards says what is bare bones equipment on a fire truck. And as that fire truck goes to different locations, they add to it. They say we have a lot of youth that lives in this area, or we have a lot of elderly, or we are near a wildfire area. So all three of those vehicles may actually end up with different tools and equipment on them. That national standard is very bare bones, and that would be our very last goal down the line, is I would like to see if we can give it an addition.
Wow. Well, you know, I think these are wonderful goals, and you've already done such incredible work and are really make a difference in the lives of animals and the people who love them. So I'm delighted to call you friend besides a colleague and associate. Deborah Jo, tell our listeners how they can learn more about the Emma Zen Foundation.
We have emmazenfoundation.org. That's Emma Zen, Z-E-N. We are going to make, as your friend Becky was talking about, essential oils. We should have Essence of Emma Zen, the world's calmest dog.
There you go.
But the EmmaZenFoundation.org. And on Facebook, you can also go to the Emma Zen Foundation.
Thanks so much. And everybody, please check it out. You can get a wealth of knowledge on the website. Deborah Jo, I will see you soon.
I will see you soon. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to all the words that you can spread.
Love it. After this break, we'll get you further on your way to being one of those humans who react appropriately to emergencies. So don't touch that dial, phone line, internet connection, however you're listening. Stay tuned.
Hey, pet lovers, you have to try this. Organic pet shampoo and organic pet skin spray made by the Green Hippies. You cannot get better than this. They are made with organic vegetables. Wow. This is what you must do. Go to thegreenhippies.com. I'll spell it for you. Thegreenhippies.com. Thegreenhippies.com. Or call right now, 386-747-5620. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Super Essentials, your pet's best friend. Super Essentials is an immune system builder for all the animals. 100% human-made ingredients and made in the USA. Promotes longevity, increases energy, builds healthy joints and strong bones. It builds a solid foundation for excellent health for dogs and cats. This is what I want you to do. Go to www.MotherEarthPet.com to learn so much more about this product. My producer uses it for his pets and for himself as well. That is MotherEarthPet.com. A happy pet is a healthy pet. The site again, www.MotherEarthPet.com. Hey, pet lovers. Have you had this problem? Did you ever lose your keys in your purse or in your pockets? Looking for a better way to carry your dog treats when walking your pet? Or, and this is a big one for me, looking for a better and safer way to carry your phone? Well, stop looking. The hip clip and pocket accessory is for you. Go to hipclips.com. I'm going to spell it for you. H-I-P-C-L-I-P-S. KLIPS.com. HipClips.com. The best way to carry your everyday personals.
Wow, two awesome guests today with lots and lots of information. Becky will definitely return to Pet Safety Crusader Radio, and Deborah Jo will talk with us. What I'm going to have her talk about next time is having the various species cohabitate peacefully. She told you that besides Emma Zen, the black lab Dane, Deborah Jo and her husband share their lives with a miniature pot-bellied pig, but that isn't all. They have an enormous tortoise, a rabbit, a bird, and a cat. So we can absolutely learn a lot from the Chiapuzio family about getting along. I'd like to wrap up this week's show with a reminder about Pet Disaster Preparedness Month. As discussed last week, it's up to you to let an emergency become a life and death catastrophe or just a major inconvenience. In the face of adversity, your most powerful tools are readiness, the training, and the supplies we discussed earlier in the show. That positive mental attitude, which nobody can really teach you, it has to come from within. But just like when we were talking about staying calm with Becky, we can develop a positive mental attitude if we get training and we have systems in place, because the more confident we are, the more prepared we are to react. And curiosity, to just keep on learning to help you through. At the beginning of the show, we hit more fully on the readiness part as far as what stuff you should have on hand. But now as we conclude today's episode, I'd like to talk to you about where you should stash this stuff. You should have emergency kits or first aid kits in the house, in your car, because you might be out and about when the emergency happens. You should also have them at work or in your office, but make sure they're always kept in a temperate zone. Obviously, food can spoil and so can some medications. And one of the things we have in our pet first aid kits is hydrogen peroxide. And the purpose of that is to induce vomiting for certain types of poisons our dogs and cats swallow. Well, if the peroxide gets too warm, like it would in our car throughout time, it won't respond. So we need to either change it out regularly or always bring it in, but just make sure certain things always stay temperate. As far as storing these items, whether it's in your house or your office place, in the car it's probably in your trunk, but in the house or the office place, especially for those of us out here in earthquake country, but it probably applies to other parts of the country too, you want to store them inside but near an outside wall. Because if the walls crumble, you want to be able to not have to go through too many rooms or, you know, piles of debris in order to be able to get to them, but just to move, you know, maybe a few cinder blocks and some wood and a thing or two. But if it's down in your basement in the center of the house, you're never going to get to it. And once again, don't forget to have supplies for your humans too. Should you have any questions about what we went over so quickly today, please visit my website, www.sunnydoginkwithak.com. And under products, you'll find my paw preparedness kits. You'll also see my schedule for the training I do, pet first aid and cardiopulmonary cerebral resuscitation classes, which I teach all over. So hopefully you can find my class schedule and maybe a class near you. I've actually taught our guest, Deborah Jo, to do the same, and she teaches the classes as well. I'm going to implement something new this summer, and my class will be available online, so you'll definitely be hearing more about that. But if I can't get to an area where you are and you can't find another instructor, that's an alternative so that you can get the skills, the knowledge, and the confidence to react. This actually, though, sounds like a perfect spot to tell you what this Crusader is working fast and furiously on. A first-of-its-kind 2016 Southern U.S. Pet Safety Tour, which is going to kick off from the PSI Pet Sitters World Educational Conference in San Diego, California, this September 15th. And then my husband, my Akitas, and I will embark on a 10,000-mile journey across the South, teaching pet first aid and CPR at animal shelters, training firefighters and EMS volunteers and the community in pet disaster preparedness, and I'll be doing readings of my children's books in schools and libraries. For those of you that haven't seen them yet, I write a series called Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover, about not judging animals, people, or anything by the outside, but getting to know the true treasures that lie underneath. Obviously, to make this happen, with each event serving as a fundraiser for a local animal welfare organization, I need superheroes to help this pet safety crusader be the one who makes a difference. Events are being planned in Phoenix, Arizona, Houston, Kingwood, and Dallas, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Panama City and Orlando, Florida, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Winchester, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, La Plata, Maryland, Nashville, Tennessee, Atlanta and Perry, Georgia, and Camden, Arkansas. As the weeks go by, I'm going to be happy to share all the details as the puzzle pieces fall into place so that maybe you can stop on by an event in your town and get the training your pet needs you to have. If you're a business who would like to champion the cause, email me at denise@sunnydoginc.com. Visit my website or check out my page at bbsradio.com/petsafetycrusader to get in touch and make a difference. Thanks so doggone much for allowing me to help you help your pet. I'm ecstatic over my association with BBS Radio and now joining All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My pack and I have paws and fingers crossed that you and yours will stay safe, healthy, and happy, and I personally challenge you to do your best to be a superhero in the life of an animal. Looking forward to having you hear me and my guests next time. This is the Pet Safety Crusader signing off and wishing you a bow-wow wonderful day. She went to go for a ride in the car.